A Doll's House, translated from the Norwegian by Michael Mayer.
Hide that Christmas tree away, Helen.
Yes, madam. The children mustn't see it before I've decorated it this evening. Oh, lovely macaroons.
Is that my skylark twittering out there?
It is.
Is that my squirrel rustling?
Yes.
When did my squirrel come home?
Just now. Woof. Come out here, Tova, and see what I've bought.
Bought, did you say? All that. Has my little squander bird been overspending again?
Oh, Tova, surely we can let ourselves go a little this year. It's the first Christmas we don't have to scrape.
Well, you know, we can't afford to be extravagant.
Oh, yes, Tova. We can be a little extravagant now, can't we? Just a tiny bit. You've got a big salary now, and you're going to make lots and lots of money.
Next year, yes, but my new salary doesn't start till April.
Oh, we can borrow till then.
Now, Nora, what a little spendthrift you are. Now, suppose I were to borrow £50 today, and you spent it all over Christmas, and then on New Year's Eve, a tile fell off a roof onto my head.
Oh, Torvald, don't say such dreadful
yes,
things.
Yes, but suppose something like that did happen.
Oh, if anything as frightful as that happened, it wouldn't make much difference whether I was in debt or not.
But what about the people I'd borrowed from?
Them, who cares? They're strangers.
Oh, Nora, Nora. Oh, how like a woman. No, 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 but seriously, Nora, you know how I feel about this. No debts, never borrow. A home that's founded on debts and borrowing can never be a place of freedom and beauty. We two have stuck it out bravely up to now, and we shall continue to do so for the few weeks that remain.
Very well, Tova. As you say...
Oh, now, now, my little songbird mustn't droop her wings. Oh, what is this? Is little squirrel sulking? Nora... Guess what I've got here?
Money.
Look. I know how these small expenses crop up at Christmas.
One, two, three, four. Oh, thank you, Tova. Thank you. I should be able to manage with this.
You'll have to.
Yes, yes, of course I will. But come over here. I want to show you everything I've bought. And so cheap. Look. Here are new clothes for Eva, and a sword, and a horse and trumpet for Bob, and a doll and a cradle for Emily. Oh, they're nothing much, but you'll pull them apart in a few days. And some bits of material and handkerchiefs for the maids. Oh, old Anne-Marie ought to have had something better, really.
And what is in that parcel?
No, Torval, you mustn't see that before this evening.
Oh, very well. But now tell me, my little spendthrift, what do you want for Christmas?
Me? Oh, I don't want anything.
Oh, yes, you do. Well, now tell me, what, within reason, would you most like?
No, I really don't know. Oh, yes, Torval.
Well?
If you really want to give me something, you could... You could...
Come on, out with it.
You could give me money, Tova. Only as much as you feel you can afford. Then later I'll buy something
but
with it.
But Nora...
Oh, yes, but... Tova, dear, please. Then I'll wrap up the notes in pretty gold paper and hang them on the Christmas tree. Wouldn't that be fun?
What is the name of that little bird that can never keep any money?
Yes, yes. Squander bird, I know. But let's do as I say, Tova. Then I'll have time to think about what I most need. Isn't that the best way?
Well, to be sure, it would be if you could keep what I give you and really buy yourself something with it. But you spend it all on all sorts of useless things for the house, and then I'll have to put my hand in my pocket again.
Oh, but Tova...
No, you can't deny it, Nora, dear. The squander bird's a pretty little creature, but she gets through an awful lot of money. It's incredible what an expensive pet she is for a man to keep.
For shame. How can you say such a thing? I save every penny I can.
Yes, that's quite true. Every penny you can. But you can't.
Oh, if only you knew how many expenses we larks and squirrels have to
avoid. Oh, you're a funny little creature. Just like your father used to be, always on the lookout for some way to get money, but as soon as you have any, it just runs through your fingers and you never know where it's gone. Well, I suppose I must take you as you are. It's in your blood. Yes. These things are hereditary, Nora.
Oh, I wish I'd inherited more of Papa's qualities.
And I wouldn't wish my darling little songbird to be any different from what she is. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. You look awfully, how shall I put it, awfully guilty today.
Do I?
Yes, you do. Look me in the eyes.
Well?
Has my little sweet tooth been indulging herself in town today, by any chance?
No. How can you think of such a thing?
Not a tiny little digression into a pastry shop?
No, Tova, I promise.
Not just a wee jam tart?
Certainly not.
Not a little nibble at a macaroon?
No, Tova, I promise, honestly.
Oh, there. I was only joking.
No, I could never act against your wishes.
Of course not, and you've given me your word. Well, my beloved Nora, you keep your little Christmas secrets to yourself. They'll be revealed this evening, I've no doubt, once the Christmas tree's been lit.
Oh, have you remembered to invite Dr. Rank?
No. Oh, but there's no need. He knows he'll be dining with us. Anyway, I'll ask him when he comes this morning. I've ordered some good wine. Oh, Nora, you can't imagine how I'm looking forward to this evening.
So am I. And Torvald, how the children will love it.
Yes. It's a wonderful thing to know that one's position is assured and that one has an ample income. Don't you agree? It's good to know that, isn't it?
Yes. It's almost like a miracle.
Do you remember last Christmas? For 3 whole weeks you shut yourself away every evening to make flowers for the Christmas tree. And all those other things you were going to surprise us with. Oh, it was the most boring time I've ever had in my life.
I didn't find it boring.
But it all came to nothing in the end, didn't it?
Oh, are you going to bring that up again? How did I help the cat getting in and tearing everything to bits?
No, my poor little Nora, of course you couldn't. Meow. You simply wanted to make us happy. And that's all that matters. But it's good that those hard times are past.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I don't have to sit by myself and be bored. And you don't have to tie your pretty eyes and your delicate little hands.
No, Torva, that's true, isn't it? I don't have to any longer. Oh, it's really all just like a miracle. Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought we might do, Torva. As soon as Christmas is over... Oh, there's the doorbell. Someone's coming. What a bore.
Well, I'm not at home to any visitors. Remember?
Yes, Helen?
A lady's called, madam. A stranger.
We'll ask her to come in.
And the doctor's here too, sir.
Has he gone to my room?
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a mess.
Good evening, Nora.
Good evening.
I suppose you don't recognize me.
No, I'm afraid... Yes. Wait a minute. Surely... Why, Christine! Is it really you?
Yes, it's me.
Christine! And I didn't recognize you. But how could I? You've changed, Christine.
Yes, I know. It's been 9 years. Nearly 10.
Is it so long? Yes, it must be. Oh, these last 8 years have been such a happy time for me. So, you've come to town. All that way in winter. How brave of you.
I arrived by steamer this morning.
Yes, of course. To enjoy yourself over Christmas. Oh, how splendid. We'll have to celebrate. I'll take off your coat. You're not cold, are you?
No.
There. Thank you. Uh-huh. Now, let's sit down here by the stove and be comfortable. Yes. Now you look more like your old self. Just at first. You've got a little paler, though, Christine. And perhaps a bit thinner.
And older, Nora. Much, much older.
Yes, perhaps a little older. Just a tiny bit. Not much.
Oh, but how thoughtless of me to sit here and chatter away like this, dear, sweet Christine. How could you forgive me?
How do you mean, Nora?
Poor Christine, you've become a widow.
Yes, 3 years ago.
I know, I read it in the papers. Oh, Christine, I meant to write to you so often, honestly. I always put it off and something always cropped up.
I understand,
Nora. No,
dear.
Christine, it was beastly up. Oh, my poor darling, what you've gone through. And he didn't leave you anything?
No.
No children either?
No.
Nothing at all, then?
Not even a feeling of sorrow or loss.
But Christine, how is that possible?
Oh, these things happen, Nora.
All alone. How dreadful that must be for you. I've 3 lovely children. I'm afraid you can't see them now because they're out with Nanny. But you must tell me everything.
No, no, no. I want to hear about
you. No, you start. I'm not going to be selfish today. I'm just going to think about you. Oh, but there's one thing I must tell you. Have you heard of the wonderful luck we've just had?
No, what?
Would you believe it? My husband's just been made vice chairman of the bank.
Your husband? Oh, how lucky.
Yes, isn't it? Being a lawyer is so uncertain, you know, especially if one isn't prepared to touch any case that isn't, well, quite nice. And, of course, Torvald's been very firm about that, and I'm absolutely with him. Oh, you can imagine how happy we are. He's joining the bank in the new year, and he'll be getting a big salary and lots of percentages, too. From now on, we'll be able to live quite differently. We'll be able to do whatever we want. Oh, Christine, it's such a relief. I feel so happy. Well, I mean, it's lovely to have heaps of money and not to have to worry about anything, don't you think?
Must be lovely to have enough to cover one's needs, anyway.
Well, not just our needs. We're going to have heaps and heaps of money.
Nora, Nora, haven't you grown up yet? When we were at school, you were a terrible little spendthrift.
Yes, Torvald still says that. But we've been in no position for me to waste money. We both had to work.
You too?
Yes. Oh, little things. Fancy work, crocheting, embroidery and so forth. Oh. And other things too. I suppose you know Torvald left the ministry when we got married. There were no prospects of promotion in his department. And of course, he needed the money. But the first year he overworked himself dreadfully. He had to take on all sorts of extra jobs and work day and night, but it was too much for him, and he became frightfully ill. The doctors said he would have to go to a warmer climate.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you spent a whole year in Italy, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes. It wasn't easy for me to get away, you know. I just had Eva. But, of course, we had to do it. Oh, it was a marvellous trip. And it saved Torvald's life. But it cost an awful lot of money, Christine.
I can imagine.
£250. That's a lot of money, you know.
How lucky you had it.
Well, actually, we got it from Father.
Oh, I see. Didn't he die just about then?
Yes, just about then. Wasn't it dreadful? I couldn't go and look after him. I was expecting little Eva any day. And then I had my poor Torvald to care for. I really didn't think he'd live. Poor, kind Papa. I never saw him again. Christine. Oh, it's the saddest thing that's happened to me since I got married.
Well, I know. You were very fond of him. But you went to Italy?
Yes. Well, we had the money, you see, and the doctor said we mustn't delay. So we went the month after Papa died.
And your husband came back completely cured?
Fit as a fiddle.
But, the doctor...
How do you mean?
I thought the maid said that the gentleman who arrived with me was the doctor.
Oh, yes. That's Dr. Runk. But he doesn't come because anyone is ill. He's our best friend. And he looks us up at least once every day. No, Torvald hasn't had a moment's illness since we went away. And the children are fit and healthy and so am I. Oh, God, Christine, it's a wonderful thing to be alive and happy. Oh, but how beastly of me. I'm only talking about myself. Tell me, Is it really true you didn't love your husband? Why did you marry him then?
Well, my mother was still alive, and she was helpless and bedridden, and I had my two little brothers to take care of. I didn't feel I could say no.
Yes. Well, perhaps you were right. And he was rich then, was he?
Quite comfortably off, I believe. But his business was unsound, you see, Nora, and when he died, it went bankrupt, and there was nothing left.
What did you do?
Well, I had to try to make ends meet somehow. So I started a little shop, and a little school, and anything else I could turn my hand to. Oh, these last few years have been just one endless slog for me without a moment's rest. But now it's over, Nora. My poor dead mother doesn't need me anymore. She's passed away. And my brothers don't need me either. They've got jobs now and can look after themselves.
How relieved you must feel.
No, Nora. Just unspeakably empty. No one to live for anymore. That's why I couldn't bear to stay out there any longer, cut off from the world. I thought it'd be easier to find some work here that will exercise and occupy my mind. Well, if only I could get a regular job. Well, office work of some kind.
Oh, but Christine, that's dreadfully exhausting, and you look practically finished already. I mean, it'd be much better if you could go away somewhere.
I have no papa to pay for my holidays, Nora.
Oh, please, don't be angry with me.
My dear Nora, it's I who should ask you not to be angry. That's the worst thing about this kind of situation. It makes one so bitter. One has no one to work for, and yet one has to be continually sponging for jobs. One has to live. And so one becomes completely egocentric. When you told me about this luck you've just had with Torvald's new job, can you imagine? I was happy not so much on your account as on my own.
How do you mean? Oh, I understand. You mean Torvald might be able to do something for you?
Yes, I was thinking that.
He will too, Christine. Just you leave it to me. I'll lead up to it so delicately. So delicately. I'll get him in the right mood. Oh, Christine, I do so want to help you.
Oh, it is sweet of you to bother so much about me, Nora. Especially since you know so little of the worries and hardships of life.
Aye? You say I know little of the...
You're a child, Nora.
You shouldn't say that so patronizingly.
Oh?
You're like the rest. You all think I'm incapable of getting down to anything serious.
My dear,
you think I've never had any worries like the rest
of you. Nora, dear, you've just told me all your difficulties.
Truth that. I haven't told you the big thing.
What big thing? What do you mean?
Don't patronize me, Christine. You shouldn't. You're proud that you've worked so long and so hard for your mother. But let me tell you something. I, too, have done something to be proud and happy about.
How do you mean?
Torvald mustn't know. No one must know, Christine. No one but you. It was I who saved Torvald's life.
Saved it? How did you save it?
Well, I told you about our trip to Italy. Torvald couldn't have lived if I hadn't have managed to get him down there.
Yes, well, your father provided the money.
So Torvald and everyone thinks. But,
yes,
Papa didn't give us a penny. It was I who found the money.
You?
All of it? £250. What do you say to that?
But Nora, how could you? Did you win a lottery or something?
Lottery? Oh, what would there be to be proud of in that?
Well, where did you get it from, then? Now, you couldn't have borrowed it.
Oh, why not?
Well, a wife can't borrow money without her husband's consent.
Ah, but when a wife has a little business sense and knows how to be clever...
Nora, I simply don't understand.
You don't have to. No one has said I borrowed the money. I could have got it in some other way. I could have got it from an admirer. When a girl's as pretty as I am...
Oh, Nora, you're crazy.
You're dying of curiosity, aren't you, Christine?
Nora, dear, you haven't done anything foolish.
Is it foolish to save one's husband's life?
I think it's foolish if without his knowledge...
But the whole point was that he mustn't know. Oh, great heavens, don't you see? He hadn't to know how dangerously ill he was. It was me they told that his life was in danger, and that only going to a warm climate could save him. Do you suppose I didn't think of other ways of getting him down there? I told him how wonderful it would be for me to go abroad like other young wives. I cried. I begged. I asked him to remember my condition and said that he ought to be nice and tender to me. And then I suggested he might quite easily borrow the money. But then he got almost angry with me, Christine. He said I was frivolous and that it was his duty as a husband not to pander to my moods and caprices. I think that's what he called them. Well, I thought, you've got to be saved somehow. And then I thought of a way.
But didn't your husband find out from your father that the money hadn't come from him?
No, never. Papa died just then. I'd thought of letting him into the plot and asking him not to tell. But since he was so ill, and as things turned out, it didn't become necessary.
And you've never told your husband about this?
Oh, for heaven's sake, no! What an idea! He's frightfully strict about such matters. And besides, he's so proud of being a man. It'd be so painful and humiliating for him to know that he owed anything to me. It'd completely wreck our relationship. This life we have built together would no longer exist.
Will you never tell him?
Yes. Sometime, perhaps. Years from now, when I'm no longer pretty.
Oh, no.
No, you mustn't laugh. I mean, of course, when Torvald no longer loves me as he does now. And when it no longer amuses him to see me dance and dress up and play the fool for him. Then it might be useful to have something up my sleeve. Stupid, stupid, stupid. That time will never come. Well, what do you think of my big secret, Christine? I'm not completely useless, am I? Mind you, all this has caused me a frightful lot of worry. It hasn't been easy to meet my obligations punctually. In case you don't know, in the world of business, there are things called quarterly installments and interest. And they're a terrible problem to cope with. Mm. So I've had to scrape a little here and save a little there as best I can. And then I found one or two other sources of income. Last winter, I managed to get a lot of copying to do, so I shut myself away and wrote every evening, late into the night. Oh, I often got so tired. So tired. But it was great fun, though, sitting there working and earning money. It was almost like being a man.
But how much have you managed to pay off like this?
Well, I can't say exactly. It's awfully difficult to keep an exact check on these kind of transactions. I only know I've paid everything I've managed to scrape together. Sometimes I really didn't know where to turn. Then I'd sit here and imagine some rich old gentleman had fallen in love with me.
What gentleman?
Silly. And that now he died. And when they opened his will, it said in big letters, "Everything I possess is to be paid forthwith to my beloved Mrs. Nora Helmer. In cash."
Nora, dear, who was this gentleman?
Oh, great heavens! Don't you understand? There wasn't any old gentleman. He was just something I used to dream up as I sat here evening after evening, wondering how on earth I could raise some money. But what does it matter? The old bore can stay imaginary as far as I'm concerned, because now I don't have to worry any longer. No more troubles. I can play all day with the children. I can fill the house with pretty things, just the way Torvald likes. And Christine, it'll soon be spring, and the air will be fresh, and the sky is blue, and then perhaps we'll be able to take a little trip somewhere. I shall be able to smell the sea again. Oh, yes, yes. It's a wonderful thing to be alive and happy.
Oh, you've a visitor. Perhaps I'd better go.
No, stay. It won't be for me. It'd be someone for Torvald.
Excuse me, madam. A gentleman's called who says he wants to speak to the master. But I didn't know, seeing as the doctor's with him.
Who is this gentleman?
It's me, Mrs. Helmer.
You? What is it? What do you want to talk to my husband about?
Business, you might call it. I hold a minor post in the bank, and I hear your husband is to become our new chief.
Oh, then it isn't...
Pure business, Mrs. Thomas. Nothing more.
Well, you'll find him in his study, through the hall door there.
Thank you.
Nora, who was that man?
A lawyer called Krugstad.
It was him, then.
Do you know that man?
I used to know him some years ago. He was a solicitor's clerk in our town for a while.
Yes, of course, so he was.
Oh, he's changed.
He was very unhappily married, I believe.
Is he a widower, then?
Yes, with a lot of children.
He does various things now, I hear.
Does he? It's quite possible. I really don't know. But don't let's talk about business. It's so boring.
No, my dear chap. Don't see me out. I'll go and have a word with your wife. I beg your pardon. I seem to be good pro here, too.
Not in the least. Dr. Rank, Mrs. Linda.
A name I have often heard in this house. I believe I passed you on the stairs as I came out.
Oh, yes. Stairs tire me. I have to take them slowly.
Oh, have you hurt yourself?
Oh, no. I'm just a little run down.
Ah, is that all? Then I take it you've come to town to cure yourself by a round of parties.
I've come to find work.
Is that an approved remedy for being run down?
One has to live, Doctor.
Yes, people do seem to regard it as a necessity.
Oh, really, Dr. Rang, I bet you want to stay alive.
You bet I do. However wretched I sometimes feel, I still want to go on being tortured for as long as possible. It's the same with all my patients, and with people who are morally sick, too. There's a moral cripple in with Helmer at this very moment.
Oh, whom do you mean?
Oh, a lawyer fellow called Krogstad. You wouldn't know him. He's crippled, all right, morally twisted. But even he started off by announcing, as though it were a matter of enormous importance, that he had to live.
Oh, what did he want to talk to Torvald about?
I haven't the faintest idea. All I heard was something about the bank.
I didn't know that this man Krogstad had any connection with the bank.
Oh, yes, he's got some kind of job down there. Mrs. Linda, I wonder if in your part of the world you too have a species of human being that spends its time fussing around trying to smell out moral corruption. And when they find a case, they give him some nice, comfortable position so that they can keep a good watch on him. The healthy ones just have to lump it.
But surely it's the sick who need care most.
Well, there we have it. It's that attitude that's turning human society into a hospital. Why are you laughing? Do you really know what society is?
What do I care about society? I think it's a bore. I was laughing at something else, something frightfully funny. Tell me, Dr. Rank, will everyone who works at the bank come under Torvald now?
Well, do you find that particularly funny?
Yes. I find it very amusing to think that I mean, Torvald has obtained such influence over so many people. Dr. Rank, would you like a small macaroon?
Macaroons? I say, I thought they were forbidden here.
Yes, well, these are some that Christine gave me.
What?
All right, don't get frightened. You want to know Torvald had forbidden them. What? He's afraid they'll ruin my teeth. But dash it, for once. Don't you agree, Dr. Rank? Here. You too, Christine.
Well.
And, Kira, I'll have one too. Two at the most. Yes. Now I feel really, really happy. There's just one thing in the world I'd really love to do.
Oh, what is that?
Just something I'd love to say to Torvald.
Oh, why don't you say it?
No, I daren't. It's too dreadful.
Dreadful?
But you can say it to us. What is it that you'd so love to say to Torvald?
I've the most extraordinary longing to say... Bloody hell!
You're mad!
Dear Nora!
Oh, say it! Say it! Yeah, he is!
Well, Torvald, dear, did you get rid of him?
Yes, he's just gone.
May I introduce you? This is Christine. She's just arrived in town.
Christine, forgive me, I don't think...
Mrs. Linda, Torvald, dear. Christine Linda.
Ah, a
childhood friend of my wife's, I presume.
Yes, we knew each other in earlier days.
And imagine she's travelled all this way to talk to you.
Oh.
Well, I didn't. Really. You see, Christine's frightfully good at office work, and she's mad to come under some really clever man who can teach her even more than she knows already.
Very sensible, madam.
So when she heard you'd become head of the bank, it was in her local paper.
No. Oh.
She came here as quickly as she could and told that you will, won't you, do a little something to help Christine for my sake.
Well, now, that shouldn't be impossible. You are a widow, I take it, Mrs. Linda?
Yes.
And you have experience of office work?
Oh, yes, quite a bit.
Well, then, it's quite likely I may be able to find some job for
you. You see.
You've come at a lucky moment, Mrs. Linda.
Oh, how can I ever thank you?
There's absolutely no need. But now, I'm afraid I must ask you to excuse me.
Oh, wait, I'll come with you.
Don't be long, Torval, dear.
I'll only be an hour.
Are you going too, Christine?
Oh, yes. Well, I must start to look around for a room.
Then perhaps we can walk part of the way together.
Oh, it's such a nuisance. We're so cramped here. I'm afraid we can't have
the I wouldn't dream of it. Well, goodbye, Nora, dear. And thanks for everything.
Au revoir. You'll be coming back this evening, of course.
Oh, thank
you. And you too, Dr. Rack, wrap up warmly now. There they are, my children. Look at them, Christine. Aren't they beautiful?
Oh, don't stand here chattering.
Come, Mrs. Linda. Eva.
Anne-Marie, take their coats and boots off and then ask Helen to give them a hot drink in the kitchen.
Yes, Miss.
They look frozen, the poor darlings. When they've had their drink, bring them up here. And we'll play hide-and-seek together.
Come along, Eva.
Now, where shall I hide? The table. Perhaps under the table.
Excuse me, Mrs. Hummer.
Oh, what do you want?
I beg your pardon. The front door was ajar. Someone must have forgotten to close it.
My husband is not at home, Mr. Krogstad.
I know.
Well, what do you want here, then?
A word with you.
You want to speak to me?
Yes.
Today? But it's not the first of the month yet.
No, it is Christmas Eve. Whether or not you have a merry Christmas depends on you.
What do you want? I can't give you anything today.
No, we won't talk about that for the present. There's something else. You have a moment to spare?
Yes, I suppose so.
Tell me, was that lady who was here earlier, a Mrs. Linda?
Yes.
Recently arrived in town?
Yes, today.
She is a good friend of yours, is she not?
Yes, she is, but I don't...
I used to know her, too, once.
I know.
Oh. So you've discovered that. Yes, I thought you would. Well, then, may I ask you a straight question? Is Mrs. Linda to be employed at the bank?
Yes, Mrs. Linda is to be employed by the bank, and I arranged it, Mr. Krogstad, now you know.
I guessed right, then.
Oh, one has a little influence, you know. Just because one's a woman, it doesn't necessarily mean... When one is in a humble position, Mr. Krogstad, one should think twice before offending someone who...
Who has influence?
Precisely.
Then, Mrs. Helmer, will you have the kindness to use your influence on my behalf?
What do you mean?
Will you be so good as to see that I keep my humble position at the bank?
But who is thinking of removing you from your position?
No, you needn't play the innocent with me. I realize it can't be very pleasant for your friend to risk bumping into me, and I also realize whom I have to thank for being hounded out like this.
But I assure you...
Look, let's not beat about the bush. There's still time. And I'd advise you to use your influence to stop it.
But Mr. Krogstad, I have no influence.
Oh? I thought you just said...
But I didn't mean it like that. I? How on earth could you imagine that I would have any influence over my husband?
I've known your husband since we were students together. I imagine he has his weaknesses, like other married men.
If you speak impertinently of my husband, I shall show you the door.
You're a bold woman, Mrs. Helmer.
I'm no longer afraid of you. Once the new year is in, I shall be rid of you.
Believe me, Mrs. Helmer, if I'm forced to, I shall fight for my little job at the bank as I would fight for my life.
So it sounds.
It isn't just money. It's the last thing I care about. There's something else. Well, you may as well know. It's like this, you see. You know, of course, as everyone else does, that some years ago I committed an indiscretion.
I think I did hear something.
Of course, it never came into court. But from that day, every opening was barred to me. So, I turned my hand to the kind of business you know about. I had to do something. I don't think I was one of the worst. But now I want to give up all that. My sons are growing up. For their sake, I must try to regain what respectability I can. This job in the bank was the first step on the ladder. Now your husband intends to kick me off that ladder back into the mud.
But, my dear Mr. Krogstad, it simply isn't in my power to help you.
You say that because you don't want to help me. But I have the means to make you.
You don't mean you tell my husband that I owe you money? That'd be a filthy trick. This secret that is my pride, my joy, that he should hear about it in such a filthy, beastly way, hear about it from you, it'd involve me in the most dreadful unpleasantness.
Only unpleasantness?
All right, do it. But you'll be the one who'll suffer. It'll show my husband the kind of man you are. And then you'll never keep your job.
I asked you whether it was merely domestic unpleasantness you were afraid of.
If my husband hears about it, he will, of course, immediately pay you whatever is owing. And then we shall have nothing more to do with you.
Listen, Mrs. Helmer. Either you've a bad memory, or else you know very little about financial transactions. I'd better enlighten you.
What do you mean?
When your husband was ill, you came to me to borrow £250.
I didn't know anyone else.
I promised to find that sum for you.
And you did find it?
I promised to find that sum for you on certain conditions. You were so worried about your husband's illness and so keen to get the money to take him abroad, I don't think you bothered much about the details. So, it won't be out of place if I refresh your memory. Well, I promised to get you the money in exchange for an IOU, which I drew up.
And which I signed.
Exactly. But then I added a few lines naming your father as security for the debt. This paragraph was to be signed by your father.
Was to be? He did sign it.
I left the date blank for your father to fill in when he signed the paper. You remember, Mrs. Helmer?
Yes, I think so.
And I gave you back this IOU for you to post to your father. Is that not correct?
Yes.
And, of course, you posted it at once, for within 5 or 6 days you brought it along to me with your father's signature upon it, whereupon I handed you the money.
Haven't I repaid the instalments as agreed?
Yes, more or less. That was a difficult time for you just then, wasn't it, Mrs. Helmer?
Yes, it was.
Your father was very ill, if I'm not mistaken.
He was dying.
He did, in fact, die shortly afterwards.
Yes.
Tell me, Mrs. Helmer, do you by any chance remember the date of your father's death? The day of the month, I mean.
Papa died on the 29th of September.
Quite correct. I took the trouble to confirm it. But that leaves me with a curious little problem, which I simply cannot solve.
Problem?
The problem, Mrs. Helmer, is that your father signed this paper 3 days after his death.
What? I don't understand.
Your father died on the 29th of September, but look at this. Here, your father has dated his signature the 2nd of October. Now, isn't that a curious little problem, Mrs. Helmer? Can you suggest any explanation? And there's another curious thing. The words 2nd of October and the year are written in a hand which is not your father's, but which I seem to know. Well, there's a simple explanation to that. Your father could have forgotten to write in the date when he signed, and someone else could have added it before the news came of his death. There's nothing criminal about that. Anyway, it's the signature itself I'm wondering about. It is genuine, I suppose, Mrs. Helmer.
It was your father who wrote his name there?
No, it was not. It was I who wrote Papa's name there.
Look, Mrs. Helmer, do you realize that this is a very dangerous admission?
Why? You get your money.
May I ask you a question? Why didn't you send this paper to your father?
I couldn't. Papa was very ill. If I'd asked him to sign this, I'd have had to tell him what the money was for. But I couldn't have told him in his condition that my husband's life was in danger. I couldn't have done that.
Then you would have been wiser to have given up your idea of a holiday.
But I couldn't. It was to save my husband's life. I couldn't put it off.
But didn't it occur to you that you were being dishonest towards me?
I couldn't bother about that. I didn't care about you. I hated you because of all the beastly difficulties you put in my way when you knew how dangerously ill my husband was.
Mrs. Helmer, you evidently don't appreciate exactly what you have done. But I can assure you that it is no more trivial a crime than the one I once committed. The one that ruined me.
You would never have taken such a risk to save your wife's life.
The law does not concern itself with motives.
Then the law must be very stupid.
Stupid or not, if I show this paper to the police, you will be judged accordingly.
I don't believe that. Hasn't a daughter the right to shield her father from worry and anxiety when he's old and dying? Hasn't a wife the right to save her husband's life? I don't know much about the law, but there must be something somewhere that says that such things are allowed. Oh, you ought to know that. You're meant to be the lawyer, aren't you? You can't be a very good lawyer, Mr. Krugstad.
Possibly not. But business, the kind of business we two have been transacting, I think you'll admit I understand something about that. Good. Well, it's up to you. But I tell you this. If I get thrown back into the gutter for a second time, I shall take you with me.
What nonsense. He's trying to frighten me. I'm not that stupid. But no, it's not possible. I did it for love, didn't I? Yes?
The children are ready to play now. Shall Nanny bring them up?
No. I have one or two things to do. Ask Anne-Marie to take them to the nursery. We'll play later.
Very good, madam.
And Helen?
Yes, madam?
Bring in the Christmas tree.
Yes, madam.
No, but it's utterly impossible.
Where shall I put it, madam?
There, in the middle of the room.
Ah, there. Will you be wanting anything else?
No, thank you. I have everything I need.
Very good, madam.
Now, candles. Here. And flowers. Here. That loathsome man. Nonsense. Nonsense. There's nothing to be frightened about. The Christmas tree must be beautiful. I'll do everything that you like to her. I'll sing for you. Dance for you. Oh! You back already?
Yes. Has anyone been here?
Here? No?
Well, that's strange. I saw Krugstad come out of the street door.
Did you? Oh, yes, that's quite right. Krugstad was here for a few minutes.
Nora, I can tell from your face. He has been here and asked you to put in a good word for him.
Yes.
And you were to pretend you were doing it of your own accord? You weren't going to tell me he'd been here? He asked you to do that too, didn't he?
Yes, Tuva. But...
Nora, Nora. And you were ready to enter into such a conspiracy. Talking to a man like that and making him promises and then, on top of it all, to tell me an untruth.
An untruth?
Well, didn't you say no one had been here? Oh, my little songbird must never do that again. A songbird must have a clean beak to sing with, otherwise she'll start twittering out of tune. Isn't that the way we want things? Yes, of course it is. So, let's hear no more about that.
Torvald?
Yes?
I really am looking forward to that fancy dress ball at the Stenborgs on Boxing Day.
And I really am curious to see what you're going to surprise me with.
Oh, it's so maddening.
What is it?
I can't think of anything to wear. It all seems so stupid and meaningless.
And so my little Nora has come to that conclusion, has she?
Are you very busy, Tova?
No.
What are those papers?
Just something to do with the bank.
Already?
I persuaded the trustees to give me authority to make certain immediate changes in the staff and organisation. I want to have everything straight by the new year.
Then that's why this poor man Krugster...
Mm.
If you hadn't been so busy, I was going to ask you an enormous favour, Tova.
Well. Tell me, what was it to be?
You know I trust your taste more than anyone's. I'm so anxious to look really beautiful at the fancy dress ball. Tova, couldn't you help me decide what I shall go as and what kind of costume I ought to wear?
Aha, so little Miss Independence in trouble and needs a man to rescue her, does she?
Yes, Tova. I can't get anywhere without your help.
Well, I'll give the matter thought. We'll find something.
Oh, you are kind. Oh, how pretty these red flowers look. But tell me, is it so dreadful? This thing that Krogstad's done?
He forged someone else's signature. Have you any idea what that means?
Mightn't he have been forced to do it by some emergency?
He probably just didn't think. That's what usually happens. I'm not so heartless as to condemn a man for an isolated action.
No, Torvald, of course not.
Men often succeed in re-establishing themselves if they admit their crime and take their punishment.
Punishment?
But Krogstad didn't do that. He chose to try and trick his way out of it, and that's what's morally destroyed him.
Do you think that would...
Well, just think. How a man with that load on his conscience must always be lying and cheating and dissembling. How he must wear a mask, even in the presence of those who are dearest to him. Even his own wife and children. Yes, the children. That's the worst danger, Nora.
Why?
Because an atmosphere of lies contaminates and poisons every corner of the home. Every breath that the children draw in such a house contains the germs of evil.
Do you really believe that?
Oh, my dear, I've come across it so often in my work at the bar. Nearly all young criminals are the children of mothers who are constitutional liars.
Why do you say mothers?
Well, it's usually the mother. Though, of course, the father can have the same influence. Every lawyer knows that only too well. And yet this fellow Krugstad's been sitting at home all these years, poisoning his children with his lies and pretenses. And that's why I say that, morally speaking, he is dead. So, my pretty little Nora must promise me not to plead his case. Your hand on it. Oh, come, come. What's this? Give me your hand. Well, that's settled now. I assure you, it would be quite impossible for me to work in the same building as him. I literally feel physically ill in the presence of a man like that.
How hot it is in here. And I've so much to do.
Yes, and I must try to get some of these red before dinner. I'll think about your costume, too. And I may even have something up my sleeve to hang in gold paper on the Christmas tree. My precious little songbird.
Oh. It's nonsense. It must be. It's impossible. It must be impossible.
The children are asking if they can come in to Mummy.
No, 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 don't let them in. You stay with them, Anne-Marie.
Very good, madam.
Corrupt my little children. Poisoned my home. It isn't true. It couldn't be true. Nothing. Not a word. No letter even. Of course, no one will come today. It's Christmas Day. Not tomorrow. But perhaps... Oh, silly, silly. Of course, he
He won't do anything. It couldn't happen. It isn't possible. Why, I have three small children.
I found those fancy dress clothes at last, madam.
Oh, thank you, Nanny. Put them on the table.
They're all rumpled up.
Oh, I wish I could tear them into a million pieces.
Why, madam, they'll be all right. Just a little patience.
Yes, of course. I'll go and get Mrs. Linda to help me.
What, out again? In this dreadful weather? You'll catch a chill, madam.
Well, that wouldn't be the worst. How are the children?
Playing with their Christmas presents, poor little dears.
Are they still asking for me?
Well, they're so used to having their mummy with them.
Yes. But Anne-Marie, from now on, I shan't be able to spend so much time with them.
Well, children get used to anything in time.
Do you think so? Do you think they'd forget their mother if she went away from them? Forever?
Forever? Mercy's sake, madam.
Tell me, Anne-Marie, I've so often wondered, how could you bear to give your child away? To strangers?
But I had to, when I came to nurse my little Miss Nora.
Do you mean you wanted to?
When I had the chance of such a good job. A poor girl that's gotten into trouble can't afford to pick and choose. That good-for-nothing didn't lift a finger.
But your daughter must have completely forgotten you.
Oh, no, indeed she hasn't. She's written to me twice. Once when she got confirmed, and then again when she got married.
Oh, dear old Anne-Marie. You were a good mother to me.
Poor little Miss Nora. You never had any mother but me.
And if my little ones had no one else, I know you would. No. Silly, silly, silly. Go back to the man, Marie.
Yes, madam.
I must... Nanny, tomorrow you'll see how pretty I shall look.
Why, there'll be no one at the ball as beautiful as my Miss Nora.
Now, oh, if only I dare go out. If I could be sure no one would come and nothing would happen while I was away. Stupid, stupid, no one will come. I mustn't think about it. Brush this muff. Pretty gloves. Pretty gloves. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. One... 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, they're coming.
Nora?
Oh, it's you, Christine. There's no one else outside, is there?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad you've come.
Well, I hear you're at my lodgings asking for me.
Yes, I just happened to be passing. I want to ask you to help me with something. Let's sit down on the sofa. Look at this. There's going to be a fancy dress ball tomorrow night upstairs at the Consul Stenborg's, and Torval wants me to go as a Neapolitan fisher girl and dance the tarantella. I learned it in Capri.
And are you going to give a performance?
Yes. Torval says I should. Look, here's the dress.
Oh, it's pretty.
Torval had it made up for me in Italy. But it's so torn, I don't
know. Oh, we'll soon put that right. The stitching's just come away. Needle and thread? Ah, here we are.
You're being awfully sweet.
So, you're going to dress up tomorrow, Nora. I must pop over for a moment to see how you look. Oh, but I've completely forgotten to thank you for that nice evening yesterday.
Oh, I didn't think it was as nice as usual. You ought to have come to town a little earlier, Christine. Yes. Torval really knows how to make a home attractive.
I'm sure you do, too. You're not your father's daughter for nothing. But tell me, is Dr. Rank always in such low spirits as he was yesterday?
No. Last night it was very noticeable. But he's got a terrible disease. Spinal tuberculosis. You see, his father was a frightful creature who kept mistresses and so on. As a result,
Dr. Rank has been sickly ever since he was a child. You understand?
But my dear Nora, how on earth did you get to know about such things?
Oh, don't be silly, Christine. When one has three children, one comes into contact with women who... Well, who know about medical matters. They tell one a thing or two.
Does Dr. Rank visit you every day?
Yes, every day. He's Torvald's oldest friend, and a good friend to me, of course. Dr. Rank's almost one of the family.
But tell me, is he quite sincere? I mean, doesn't he rather say the sort of things he thinks people want to hear?
No! Well, quite the contrary. What gave you that idea?
When you introduced me to him yesterday, he said he'd often heard my name mentioned here. But later I noticed your husband had no idea who I was. So how could Dr. Rank...
Oh, yes. Yes, that's quite right, Christine. You see, Torvald's so hopelessly in love with me that he wants to have me all to himself. Those were his very words. When we were first married, he got quite jealous if I as much as mentioned any of my old friends back home. So, naturally, I stopped talking about them. But I often chat with Dr. Rank. He enjoys it, you see.
Now, listen, Nora. In many ways, you're still a child. I'm a bit older than you and have a little more experience of the world. There is something I want to say to you. You ought to give up this business with Dr. Rank.
What business?
Well, everything. Last night you were speaking about this rich admirer of yours who was going to give you money.
Yes, and who doesn't exist, unfortunately. But what's that got to do with...
Is Dr. Rank rich?
Yes.
And he has no dependents?
No one.
And he comes here to see you every day?
Yes, I told you.
But how dare a man of his education be so forward?
What on earth are you talking about?
Oh, stop pretending, Nora. Do you think I haven't guessed who it was who lent you that £200?
Are you out of your mind? How could you imagine such a thing? A friend? Someone who comes here every day? Why, that's an impossible situation.
Then it really wasn't him.
No, of course not. I could never have dreamed of asking Dr. Rank. Though I'm sure that if I ever did ask him...
Behind your husband's back?
Oh, no. I've got to get out of this other business. And that's been going on behind his back. Got to get out of it.
Yes, well, that's what I told you yesterday.
Well, it's so much easier for a man to arrange things than a woman.
One's own husband,
oh,
yes.
Oh, bosh. Christine, when you've completely repaid a debt, you get your IOU back, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course.
And you can tear it into 1,000 pieces and burn the filthy, beastly thing?
Nora, you're hiding something from me.
Can you see that?
Something has happened since yesterday morning. Nora, what is it?
Oh, Christine. Shh. There's Tova. Look, would you mind going into the nursery for a few minutes?
Into the nursery?
Well, Tova can't bear to see sewing around. Anna will help you.
Very well. But I shan't leave this house until we've talked this matter out.
Oh, Tova, dear. I've been so long for you to come back.
Was that the dressmaker?
No, it was Christine. She's helping to mend my costume. I'm going to look rather splendid in that.
Yes, that was quite a bright idea of mine, wasn't it?
Wonderful. But wasn't it nice of me to give in to you?
Nice? To give in to your husband? Oh, all right, little silly. I know you didn't mean it like that. But I won't disturb you. I expect you'll be wanting to try it on.
Are you going to work now?
Yes, well, look at all these papers. I've been down to the bank.
Tova?
Yes?
If little squirrel asked you really prettily to grant her a wish,
well,
would you grant it to her?
First, I should naturally have to know what it was.
Squirrel would do lots of pretty tricks for you if you granted her wish.
Out with it, then.
Your little skylark would sing in every room.
My little skylark does that already.
I'd turn myself into a little fairy and dance for you in the moonlight.
Nora, it isn't that business you were talking about this morning.
Yes, Tova. Oh, please, I beg of you.
Have you really the nerve to bring that up again?
Yes, Tova. You must do as I ask. You must let Krugstad keep his place at the bank.
My dear Nora, his is the job I'm giving to Mrs. Linda.
Yes, that's terribly sweet of you. But can't you get rid of one of the other clerks instead of Krugstad?
Really? You're being incredibly obstinate. Just because you thoughtlessly promised to put in a word for him, you expect me to...
No, it isn't! It isn't that, Helmer. It's for your own sake. That man writes for the most beastly newspapers. You said so yourself. He could do you tremendous harm. I'm so dreadfully frightened of him.
Oh, I understand. Memories of the past. That's what's frightening you.
What do you mean?
You're thinking of your father, aren't you?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Oh, just think of what those dreadful men wrote in the papers about Papa. The most frightful slanders. I really believe it would have lost him his job if the ministry hadn't sent you down to investigate and you hadn't been so kind and so helpful to him.
Dear little Nora, there's a considerable difference between your father and me. Your father was not a man of unassailable reputation. But I am. And I hope to remain so all my life.
But no one knows what spiteful people may not dig up. We can be so peaceful and happy now, Tova. We could be free from every worry. You and I and the children. Oh, please, Tova. Please.
The very fact of your pleading his cause makes it impossible for me to keep him. Everyone at the bank already knows that I intend to dismiss Krugstad. If the rumor got about that the new vice chairman of the bank had allowed his wife to persuade him to change his mind...
Oh, what then?
Nothing. As long as my little Miss Obstinate gets her way. You expect me to make a laughing stock of myself before my entire staff? Give people the idea that I'm open to outside influence? Oh, believe me, I'd soon feel the consequences. Besides, there's something else that makes it impossible for Krugstad to remain in the bank while I'm in charge.
What is that?
Well, I might conceivably have allowed myself to ignore his moral failings.
Yes, Torvald, surely.
And I hear he's quite efficient at his job. But we were school friends. It was one of those friendships that one enters into over hastily and so often comes to regret later in life. I might as well confess the truth. We were on Christian name terms. And the tactless idiot makes no attempt to conceal it when other people are present. On the contrary, he thinks it gives him the right to be familiar with me. He shows off the whole time with Torvald this and Torvald that. I can tell you, I find it damned annoying. And if he stayed, he'd make my position intolerable.
Torvald, you can't mean this seriously.
Oh, and why not?
But it's so petty.
What did you say? Petty? You think I'm petty?
No, Torvald, dear. No, of course you're not. That's just my...
Don't quibble. You call my motives petty, then I must be petty too. Oh, petty? Oh, well, I see. Well, I've had enough of this. Helen!
What are you going to do?
I'm going to settle this matter once and for all.
Yes, sir.
Yes, take this letter downstairs at once and find a messenger and see that he delivers it immediately. The address is on the envelope. Here's the money.
Very good, sir.
There now. Little Miss Obstinate.
Torvald, what was in that letter?
Krugstad's dismissal.
Call her back, Torvald. There's still time. Oh, Torvald, call her back. Do it for my sake. For your own sake. For the children. Do you hear me, Tova? Please do it. You don't realize what this may do to us all.
Too late.
Yes, too late.
My dear Nora, I forgive you this anxiety, though it is a bit of an insult to me.
Oh,
but it is. Isn't it an insult to imply that I should be frightened by the vindictiveness of a depraved hack journalist like Krugstad? But I forgive you. Because it so charmingly testifies to the love you bear me, which is, as it should be, my own dearest Nora. That's what will happen. When the real crisis comes, you'll not find me lacking in strength or courage. I am man enough to bear the burden for us both.
What do you mean?
The whole burden, I said.
I shall never let you do that.
Oh, very well. We shall share it, Nora, as man and wife. And that's as it should be. Are you happy now? Mm-hmm. There? Mm. There. Oh, don't look at me with those frightened little eyes.
You're simply imagining things.
Now, you go ahead now and do your tarantella and get some practice on that tambourine. I'll sit in my study and close the door, and then I won't hear anything. And you can make all the noise you want. When Dr. Rank comes, tell him where to find me.
He said he'd do it. He will do it. He will do it. And nothing will stop him. Never that. I'd rather anything. There must be some escape. Somewhere. Dr. Rank. Anything but that. Anything. I don't care. Good evening, Dr. Rank. I recognize your ring. But you mustn't go into Torval yet. I think he's busy.
And you?
Oh, you know very well. I've always time to talk to you.
Thank you. I shall avail myself of that privilege as long as I can.
What do you mean by that? As long as you can?
Yes. Does that frighten you?
Well, it's rather a curious expression. Is something going to happen?
Something I'd been expecting to happen for a long time. But I didn't think it would happen quite so soon.
What is it, Dr. Rank? You must tell me.
I'm on the way out, and there's nothing to be done about it.
Oh, it's you.
Who else? No, it's no good lying to oneself. I am the most wretched of all my patients, Mrs. Helmer. These last few days I've been going through the books of this poor body of mine, and I find I am bankrupt. Within a month, I may be rotting up there in the churchyard.
Oh, what a nasty way to talk.
The facts aren't exactly nice. But the worst is that there's so much else that's nasty that's got to come first. But I've only one more test to make. When that's done, I'll have a pretty accurate idea of when the final disintegration is likely to begin. I want to ask you a favor. Helmer's a sensitive chap, and I know how he hates anything ugly. I don't want him to visit me when I'm in hospital.
Oh, but Dr. Rank...
I don't want him there on any pretext. I shan't have him allowed in. As soon as I know the worst, I'll send you my visiting card with a black cross on it. And then you'll know that the final filthy process has begun.
Really? You're being quite impossible this evening. And I did hope you'd be in a good mood.
With death on my hands? And all this to atone for someone else's sin. Is there justice in that? And in every single family, in one way or another, the same merciless law of retribution is at work.
Nonsense. Cheer up. Laugh.
Oh. Yes, you're right. Laughter's all the damn thing's fit for. My poor innocent spine must pay for the fun my father had as a wild young lieutenant.
You mean he was too fond of asparagus and foie gras?
Yes. And truffles, too.
Yes, of course, truffles, yes. And oysters, too, I suppose.
Oh, yes, oysters, of course.
And all that port and champagne to wash them down. Oh, it's too sad that all those lovely things should affect one's spine.
Especially a poor spine that's never got any pleasure out of them.
Oh, yes, that's the saddest thing of all. Dear. Dear Dr. Runk, you mustn't die and leave Torval and me.
Oh, you'll soon get over it. Once one is gone, one is soon forgotten.
Do you believe that?
One finds replacements, and then...
Who will find a replacement?
You and Helmer both will, when I am gone. You seem to have made a start already, haven't you? What was that Mrs. Linda doing here yesterday evening?
Ah, but surely you can't be jealous of poor Christine.
Indeed I am. She will be my successor in this house. When I have moved on, this lady will...
Don't speak so loud. She's in there.
Today again, you see?
Well, she's only come to mend my dress. Good heavens, how unreasonable you are. Be nice now, Dr. Rank. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow you'll see how beautifully I shall dance. And you must imagine I'm doing it just for you. And for Torval, of course. Obviously. Now, Dr. Rank, stay there. I want to show you something.
What's this?
Look. Here. Look.
Silk stockings.
Flesh-coloured. Aren't they beautiful?
Mm.
Why are you looking so critical? Don't you think they'll fit me?
I can't really give you a qualified opinion on that.
Shame on you.
What other wonders are going to be revealed to me?
I shan't show you anything else. You're being naughty.
Oh, when I sit here like this, so close to you, I can't think, I cannot imagine what would have become of me if I'd never entered this house.
Yes. I think you enjoy being with us, don't you?
And now, to have to leave it all.
Nonsense. You're not leaving us.
And not to be able to leave even the most wretched token of gratitude. Hardly even a passing sense of loss. Only an empty space to be filled by the next comer.
Suppose I were to ask you to... No.
To do what?
Give me proof of your friendship.
Yes.
No, I mean, to do me a very great service.
Would you really for once grant me that happiness?
But you've no idea what it is.
Very well, then, tell me.
No, but Dr. Rank, I can't. It's far too much. I want your help and advice. And I want you to do something for me.
The more the better. I've no idea what it can be, but tell me. You do trust me, don't you?
Oh, yes. More than anyone. You're my best and truest friend. Otherwise, I couldn't tell you. Well then, Dr. Rank, there's something you must help me to prevent. You know how much Torvald loves me. He'd never hesitate for an instant to lay down his life for me.
Nora, do you think he is the only one?
What do you mean?
Who would gladly lay down his life for you.
Oh, I see.
I swore to myself I would let you know that before I go. I shall never have a better opportunity. Well, Nora... Now you know that, and now you also know that you can trust me as you can trust nobody else.
Please, Dr. Rank.
To say that I have loved you as deeply as anyone else has, is that horrid of me?
No, but that you should tell me. That is quite unnecessary.
What do you mean? Did you know, then? Nora, Mrs. Selmer, I'm asking you, did you know this?
Oh, what... Do I know? What did I know? What didn't I know? I really can't say. How could you be so stupid, Dr. Rank? Everything was so nice.
Well, at any rate, now you know that I am ready to serve you body and soul. So, please continue.
After this?
Please tell me what it is.
Can't possibly tell you now.
Yes, you mustn't punish me like this. Let me be allowed to do what I can for you.
You can't do anything for me now. Anyway, I don't need any help. It was only my imagination, you see. Yes. Really? Honestly. Well, upon my word, you are a fine gentleman, Dr. Rank. Aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Frankly, no. But perhaps I ought to say adieu.
Of course not. You will naturally continue to visit us as before. You know quite well how Torvald depends on your company.
Yes, but you?
Oh, I always think it's enormous fun having you here.
That was what misled me. You're a riddle to me, you know. I'd often felt you'd just as soon be with me as with Helmy.
Well, you see, there are some people whom one loves and others whom it's almost more fun to be with.
Yes, there's truth in that.
When I was at home, of course, I loved Papa best. But I always used to think it was terribly amusing to go down and talk to the servants because they never told me what I ought to do. And they were such fun to listen to.
I see. So I've taken their place.
Oh, dear sweet Dr. Rank, I didn't mean that at all. But I'm sure you understand. I feel the same about Torval as I did about Papa. Yes?
Excuse me, madam. I was asked to give you this.
Oh.
Anything wrong?
No, nothing at all. It's just something that... It's my new dress.
But your costume is lying over there.
Oh, yes. But there's another. I ordered it specially. Torval mustn't know.
Ah, so that's your big secret.
Yes, yes. Go in and talk to him. He's in the study. Keep him talking for a bit.
Don't worry. He won't get away from me.
Helen.
Yes, madam.
Is he waiting in the kitchen?
He came up the back way.
But didn't you tell him I had a visitor?
Yes, but he wouldn't go.
Wouldn't go?
No, madam. Not until he's spoken to you.
Very well, show him in. But quietly. Tell him. You mustn't tell anyone about this. It's a surprise for my husband.
Oh, very good, madam. I understand.
It's happening. It's happening after all. No. It can't happen. It mustn't happen. Speak quietly. My husband's at home. He's in there in his study.
Let him here.
What do you want from me?
Information.
Hurry up, then. What is it?
I suppose you know I've been given the sack.
I couldn't stop it, Mr. Krogstad. I did my best for you, but it didn't help.
Does your husband love you so little? He knows what I can do to you, and he dares.
You don't imagine that I told him.
No. I didn't really think you had. It wouldn't have been like my old friend Torval Helmer to show that much courage.
Mr. Krogstad, I'll trouble you to speak respectfully of my husband.
Don't worry. I'll show him all the respect he deserves. But since you're so anxious to keep this matter hushed up, I presume you're better informed than you were yesterday of the gravity of what you've done.
I've learned more than you could ever teach me.
Yes, a bad lawyer like me.
What do you want from me?
I just wanted to see how things were with you, Mrs. Helmer. I've been thinking about you all day. Even moneylenders and hack journalists have hearts, you know.
Show some heart, then. Think of my children.
Have you and your husband thought of mine? Well, let's forget that. I just wanted to tell you, you don't need to take this business too seriously. I'm not going to take any action for the present.
Oh, no. You won't, will you? I knew it.
It can all be settled quite amicably. There's no need for it to become public. We'll keep it among the three of us.
But my husband must never know about this.
How can you stop him? Can you pay the balance of what you owe me?
Not immediately.
Have you any means of raising the money during the next few days?
None that I care to use.
Well, it wouldn't have helped anyway. However much money you offered me now, I wouldn't give you back that paper.
What are you going to do with it?
Just keep it. No one else need ever hear about it. So, in case you were thinking of doing anything desperate...
I am.
...such as running away...
I am.
...or anything more desperate...
How did you know?
Just give up the idea.
How did you know?
Most of us think of that at first. I did. But I hadn't the courage.
Neither have I.
You haven't the courage either.
No, I haven't.
Hmm. It would be a stupid thing to do anyway. Once the first little domestic explosion is over. I've got a letter in my pocket here addressed to your husband.
Telling him everything?
As delicately as possible.
He must never see that letter. Tear it up. I'll find the money somehow.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Helmer. I thought I'd explain.
Oh, I don't mean the money I owe you. Let me know how much you want from my husband. I'll find it for you.
I'm not asking your husband for money.
What do you want, then?
I'll tell you. I want to get on my feet again, Mrs. Helmer. I want to get to the top. And your husband's going to help me. For 18 months now, my record's been clean. I've been in hard straits all that time. I was content to fight my way back inch by inch. But now I've been chucked back into the mud, and I'm not going to be satisfied with just getting back my job. I'm going to get to the top, I tell you. I'm going to get back into the bank, and it's going to be higher up. Your husband's going to create a new job for me.
He'll never do that.
Oh, yes, he will. I know him. He'll not dare to risk a scandal. Once I'm in there with him, you will see. Within a year, I'll be his right-hand man. It'll be Niels Krogstad who'll be running that bank, not Torvald Helmer.
That will never happen.
Are you thinking of...
Now I have the courage.
Oh, you can't frighten me. A pretty little pampered thing like you.
You'll see. You'll see.
Under the ice. Down in the cold, black water. And then in the spring to float up again. Ugly. Unrecognizable. Hairless.
Can't frighten me.
And you can't frighten me. People don't do such things, Mrs. Helmer. And anyway, what would be the use? I've got him in my pocket.
But afterwards, when I'm no longer...
Have you forgotten that then your reputation will be in my hands? Well... I've warned you. Don't do anything silly. When Helmer's read my letter, he'll get in touch with me. And remember, it's your husband who's forced me to act like this. And for that, I'll never forgive him. Goodbye, Mrs. Helmer.
Going. He's not going to give him the letter. Oh, no, no, no. It couldn't possibly happen. What's he doing? Standing outside the door. He's not going downstairs. He's changing his mind. Yes, he... Put it in the letterbox. There it is. Oh, Tova. Tova. Now we're lost.
Well, I've done the best I can. Shall we see how it looks?
Christine, come here.
What's wrong with you? You look as though you'd seen a ghost.
Come here. Do you see that letter?
There.
Look. Through the glass of the letterbox.
Yes. Yes, I see it.
That letter's from Krogstad.
So it was Krogstad who lent you the money.
Yes. And now Torvald's going to discover everything.
Oh, believe me, Nora. It will be best for you both.
You don't know what's happened. I've committed a forgery.
For heaven's sake.
Christine, all I want is for you to be my witness.
What do you mean? Witness what?
If I should go out of my mind, and it might easily happen,
Nora.
Or if anything else should happen to me, so that I wasn't here any longer.
Nora, Nora, you don't know what you're
saying. If anyone should try to take the blame and say it was all his fault, you understand?
Yes, yes, but how can you think...
Then you must testify that it isn't true, Christine. I'm not mad. I know exactly what I'm saying.
And I'm telling you, no one else knows anything about this. I did it entirely on my own. Remember that?
Yes, but I simply don't understand.
Oh, how could you understand? A miracle is about to happen.
Miracle?
Yes. A miracle. But it's so frightening, Christine. It mustn't happen. Not for anything in the world.
I'll go over and talk to Krugstad.
Don't go near him. He'll only do something to hurt you.
Once upon a time, he'd have done anything for my sake.
He?
Where does he live?
Oh, how should I know? Oh, yes, wait a moment. Here's his card. But the letter... The letter... Oh. What is it?
No, don't get alarmed. We're not coming in. You've bolted the door. Are you trying on your costume?
Yes. Yes, I'm trying on my costume. I'm going to look so pretty for you, Torva.
Why, he lives just round the corner.
Yes. But it's no use. There's nothing to be done now. The letter's there, lying in the letterbox.
And your husband has the key?
Yes, he always keeps it.
Krugstad must ask him to send the letter back unread. He must find some excuse.
Torva always opens the box at just about
this time. You must stop him. Go in and keep him talking.
I'll be back as quickly as I can.
Drawing room again? Come on, right. Now we'll see what... Well, what's this?
What, Torva, dear?
Frank's been preparing me for some great transformation scene. Oh, I understood, but I seem to have been mistaken.
Yes, no one's to be allowed to see me before tomorrow night.
Oh, but my dear Nora, you look quite worn out. Have you been practicing too hard?
No, I haven't practiced at all yet.
Oh, well, you must.
Yes, Torval, I must, I know. But I can't get anywhere without your help. I've completely forgotten everything.
Oh, we'll soon put that to rights.
Yes, help me, Torva. Promise me you will. Oh, I'm so nervous. All those people.
No.
You must forget everything except me this evening. You mustn't think of business. I won't even let you touch a pen. Promise me, Torva.
I promise. This evening I shall think of nothing but you, my poor, helpless little darling. Oh, there's just one thing I must see to.
What do you want out there?
I'm only going to see if any letters have come.
No, Torva, no.
Why, what's the matter?
Torva, I beg you. There's nothing there.
Well, I'll just make sure.
I can't dance tomorrow if I don't practice with you now.
Are you really so frightened, Nora, dear?
Yes. Terribly frightened. Let me start practicing now, at once. And we'll still have time before dinner. Oh, do sit down and play for me, Torval, dear. Correct me. Lead me. The way you always do.
Oh, very well, my dear. If you wish it.
Play for me. I want to dance.
Stella! Stella!
I can't!
Not so violently, Nora.
I must!
No, no, no. This won't do at all.
Oh, isn't that what I told you?
Let me play for her.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. Would you?
That's around.
And then it will be easier for me to show her. One and two and one.
Oh, Christine, we're having
life depended on it.
It does.
Son, stop it. Now, this is sheer lunacy. Stop it, I said.
I'd never have believed it. You've forgotten everything I taught you.
You see.
I'll have to show you every step.
You see how much I need you. You must show me every step of the way. Right to the end of the dance. Promise me you will, Dorval.
Never fear. I will.
You mustn't think about anything but me. Today or tomorrow. Don't open any letters. Don't even open the letterbox.
Uh-huh. You're still worried about that fellow.
Oh, yes, yes, him too.
Nora, I can tell from the way you're behaving there's a letter from him already lying there.
I don't know. I think so. But you mustn't read it now. I don't want anything ugly to come between us till it's all over.
Better give her her way.
My child shall have her way. But tomorrow night, when your dance is over...
Then you will be free.
Dinner is served, madam.
Put out some champagne, Helen.
Champagne? Good, well, I say, what is this, a banquet?
We'll drink champagne until dawn. Oh. And Helen, put out some macaroons.
Oh, now.
Lots of macaroons, for once.
Now, don't get so excited. Now, where's my little songbird? The one I know.
All right. Go and sit down. And you too, Dr. Rugg. And I'll be with you in a minute. Christine.
Yes?
You must help me put my hair up.
There's nothing wrong with her. I mean, she isn't expecting...
Oh, good heavens, no, my dear child.
Well, he's left town.
She just gets scared.
I
like
saw it from your face. He'll be back tomorrow evening. I left a note for him. You needn't have bothered. You can't stop anything now. Anyway, it's wonderful, really, in a way. Sitting here and waiting for the miracle to happen.
Waiting for what?
Oh, you wouldn't understand. Now, go in and join them. I'll be with you in a moment.
Very well.
5 o'clock. 7 hours till midnight. Then another 24 hours till midnight tomorrow. And then the tarantella will be finished. 24 and 7. 31 hours to live.
What's happened to my little songbird?
Your songbird is here.
Come in, Crookstar. There's no one here.
I found a note from you at my lodgings. What does this mean?
I must speak with you.
Oh. Must our conversation take place in this house, the Helmers' house?
We couldn't meet at my place. My room has no separate entrance. We're quite alone. The maid's asleep and the Helmers are upstairs at the dance.
Well, well. So the Helmers are dancing this evening. Are they indeed?
Yes. Why not?
True enough. Why not?
Well, Crookstart, you and I must have a talk together.
We two anything further to discuss?
We have a great deal to discuss.
I wasn't aware of it.
That's because you've never really understood me.
Was there anything to understand? It's the old story, isn't it? A woman tracking a man because something better turns up.
Oh. Do you really think I'm so utterly heartless? Do you think it was easy for me to give you up?
Wasn't it?
Oh, Niels. Did you really believe that?
Then why did you write to me the way you did?
I had to. Since I had to break with you, I thought it my duty to destroy all feelings you had for me.
So, that was it. And you did this money.
You mustn't forget I had a helpless mother to take care of and two little brothers. We couldn't wait for you, Niels. It would have been so long before you'd have had enough to support us.
Maybe, but you had no right to cast me off for someone else.
Perhaps not. I've often asked myself that.
When I lost you, it was just as though all solid ground had been swept from under my feet. Look at me. Now I'm a shipwrecked man clinging to a mast.
Help may be near at hand.
It was near. Then you came and stood between it and me.
Oh, I didn't know, Niels. No one told me till today that this job I'd found was yours.
Now you know you won't give it up.
No. Because it wouldn't help you, even if I did.
Wouldn't it?
I've learned to look at things practically. Life and poverty have taught me that.
Life has taught me to distrust fine words.
And it's taught you a useful lesson. But surely you still believe in actions.
What do you mean?
You said you were like a shipwrecked man clinging to a mast.
I have good reason to say it.
I'm in the same position as you. No one to care about. No one to care for.
You made your own choice.
I had no choice. Then.
Well?
Niels. Suppose we two shipwrecked souls could join hands.
What do you say?
Castaways have a better chance of survival together than on their own.
Christine.
Why do you suppose I came to this town?
You mean you came here because of me?
I must work if I'm to find life worth living. I've always worked for as long as I can remember. It's been the greatest joy of my life. My only joy. But now I'm alone in the world. And I feel so dreadfully lost and empty. There's no joy in working just for oneself. Oh, Niels, give me something, someone to work for.
I don't believe all that. You're just being hysterical and romantic. You want to find an excuse for self-sacrifice.
Oh, Niels, have you ever known me to be hysterical?
You mean... You really... Is it possible? Tell me. You know all about my past.
Yes.
And you know what people think of me here.
You said just now that with me you might have become a different person.
I know I could have.
Well, couldn't it still happen?
Christine, do you really mean this? Yes. Yes, you do. I see it in your face. Have you really the courage?
I need someone to be a mother to. Your children need a mother. And you and I need each other. I believe in you, Niels. I'm afraid of nothing with you.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you. Now, I shall make the world believe in me as you do.
Oh.
Oh, but I'd forgotten.
The tarantella. Go, quickly. Go.
Why, what is it?
You hear that dance. As soon as it's finished, they'll be coming down.
Yeah, all right, I'll go. But it's no good, Christine. I'd forgotten you. You don't know what I've just done to the helmet.
Yes, Niels, I know.
And yet, you'd still have the courage.
I know what despair can drive a man like you to.
Oh, if only I could undo this.
You can. Your letter's still lying in the box in the hall.
Still... You sure?
Quite sure.
Is that why you're doing this? You want to save your friend at any price? Tell me the truth. Is that the reason?
Niels, a woman who has sold herself once for the sake of others doesn't make the same mistake again.
I shall demand my letter back.
No.
Of course I shall. I shall stay here till Helmer comes down. I'll tell him he must give me back my letter. I'll say it was only to do with my dismissal. I don't want him to read it.
No, Niels, you mustn't ask for that letter back.
But tell me, wasn't that the real reason you asked me to come here?
Yes, at first, when I was frightened. but a day has passed since then, and in that time I have seen incredible things happen in this house. Helma must know the truth. This unhappy secret of Nora's must be revealed. They must come to a full understanding. There must be an end of all these shiftings and evasions.
Very well, if you're prepared to risk it. But one thing I can do, and at once...
Oh, hurry. Go, go. The dance is nearly over. We aren't safe here a moment longer. Wait for me downstairs. I must tidy up in here before the Helmers come back. Oh, you can see me home.
I've never been so happy in my life before.
Sweet, you know what we agreed. Oh.
Oh, good evening.
Christine.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Linda. You still here?
Oh, please forgive me. I did so want to see Nora in her costume.
Oh. Had you been sitting here waiting for me?
Yes, I got here too late. I'm afraid you'd already gone up. And I felt I really couldn't go home without seeing
you. Well, take a good look at her. She's worth looking at, don't you think? Oh, isn't she beautiful, Mrs. Linda?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Isn't she unbelievably beautiful? Everyone at the party said so. But dreadfully stubborn she is, bless her sweet little heart. Well, what's to be done about that? Would you believe it? I practically had to use force to get her away.
Oh, Tourval, you're going to regret not letting me stay. Just half an hour longer.
You hear that, Mrs. Linda? She dances her tarantella, makes a roaring success of it, and very well deserved her, possibly. A trifle too realistic and more so than was aesthetically necessary, strictly speaking. But never mind that. Main thing is, she had a success. Roaring success. And was I going to let her stay on after that and spoil the impression? Oh, no, thank you. An exit should always be dramatic, Mrs. Linda. But unfortunately, that's just what I can't get Nora to realize. Let's say it's very dark in here. I'll get another lamp from my study.
Well, I've spoken to him.
Yes?
Nora, you must tell your husband everything.
I knew it.
You have nothing to fear from Krugstad, but you must tell him.
I shan't tell him anything.
Then the letter will.
Thank you, Christine. Now I know what I must do.
Now you can really admire my little Capri signorina. Isn't she beautiful?
Yes, beautiful. Please excuse me, I really must go.
Oh, must you?
Yes, it's very late. Well, good night, Nora. And don't be stubborn, remember?
You're quite right, Mrs. Linda.
Good night, Mr. Helmer.
Good night, good night. I hope you managed to get home all right. I'd gladly... Oh, but you haven't far to go, have you? Good. Good night. Good night. Well, we've got rid of her at last. Dreadful bore, that woman is.
Aren't you tired, Tourval?
No, not in the least.
Aren't you sleepy?
Not a bit. On the contrary, I feel extraordinarily exhilarated. That really was a magnificent champagne they served us. And what about you? Oh, yes, you look very sleepy and tired.
Yes, I am very tired. Soon I shall sleep.
You see, how right I was not to let you stay longer.
Oh, you're always right, whatever you do.
Now my little songbird's talking just like a real big human being. I say, did you notice how cheerful Rank was this evening?
Oh, was he? I didn't have a chance to speak with him.
I hardly did, but I haven't seen him in such a jolly mood for ages. Oh, I say, it's nice to get back to one's own home again and be all alone with you. Oh, upon my word, you're distracted. beautiful young woman.
Don't look at me like that, Torvald.
Why not look at my most treasured possession, at all this wonderful beauty that's mine, mine alone, all mine?
You mustn't talk to me like that tonight.
You've still got the tarantella in your blood, I see, and that makes you even more desirable. Now, listen, now the other guests are beginning to go. Nora, soon the whole house will be absolutely quiet.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes, my beloved Nora, of course you do. You know, when I'm out with you, among other people like we were tonight, do you know why I say so little to you? Why I keep so aloof from you and just throw you an occasional glance? Do you know why I do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's because I pretend to myself that you're my secret mistress. My clandestine little sweetheart. And that nobody knows there's anything at all between us.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know you never think of anything but me.
And then, when we're about to go, and I wrap the shawl round your lovely young shoulders over this wonderful curve of your neck, then I pretend to myself that you're my young bride, that we just come from the wedding, that I'm taking you to my house for the very first time, and that for the very first time I'm alone with you, quite alone with you, as you stand there young and trembling and beautiful. All evening I've had no eyes for anyone but you. And when I saw you dance the tarantella like a huntress, a temptress, my blood grew hot. I couldn't stand it any longer. And that was why I seized you and dragged you down here with me.
Leave me, Torva. Get away from me.
Hmm?
I don't want all this.
What? Oh, now, Nora, you're joking with me. You don't want? You don't want Aunt your husband?
What was that?
Who is it?
It's me. May I come in for a moment?
Oh, what does he want now?
Wait a moment. Well, nice of you not to go by without looking in. Well, I heard, thought I heard your voice, so I felt I had to say goodbye.
Ah, yes, these dear rooms. How well I know them. What a happy, peaceful home you two have.
You seem to be having a pretty happy time yourself upstairs.
Indeed, I did. Why not? Why shouldn't one make the most of this world? Mm. As much as one can, for as long as one can. Mm. The wine was excellent.
Especially the champagne.
You noticed that, too. Yeah. It's almost incredible how much I managed to get down.
Torvald drank a lot of champagne, too, this evening.
Oh.
Yes, it always makes him merry afterwards.
Oh. Well, why shouldn't a man have a merry evening after a well-spent day?
Well-spent? Oh, I don't know that I can claim that.
I can, though, my dear fellow.
Yes, of course, Dr. Rank. You've been carrying out a scientific experiment today, haven't you?
Exactly.
Scientific experiments? Those are big words for my little Nora to use.
And may I congratulate you on the finding?
You may, indeed.
It was good, then.
The best possible finding, both for the doctor and the patient. Certainty.
Certainty.
Absolute certainty. So aren't I entitled to have a merry evening after that?
Yes, Dr. Rank. You were quite right to.
I agree. Provided you don't have to regret it tomorrow.
Well, you never get anything in this life without paying for it.
Dr. Rank, you like masquerades, don't you?
Yes, if the disguises are sufficiently amusing.
Tell me, what shall we two wear at the next masquerade?
Oh, you little gadabout. Are you singing about the next one already?
We two. Yes, I'll tell you. You must go as the spirit of happiness.
You try to think of a costume that'll convey that.
Your wife need only appear as her normal, everyday self.
Quite right. Well said. But what are you going to be? Have you decided that?
Yes, my dear friend, I have decided that.
Well?
At the next masquerade, I shall be invisible.
Well, that's a funny idea.
There's a big black hat.
What?
Haven't you heard of the invisible hat?
Oh.
Once it's over your head, no one can see you anymore.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Oh, I'm forgetting what I came for. Helma, give me a cigar, one of your black Havanas.
Oh, with the greatest pleasure.
Thank you.
Let me give you a light.
Thank you. And now, goodbye.
Goodbye, my dear chap. Goodbye.
Sleep well, Dr. Rank.
Thank you for that kind wish.
Wish me the same.
You? Very well. Since you ask, sleep well. And thank you for the light.
He's been drinking too much.
Perhaps. Torval, what do you want out there?
Oh, I must empty the letterbox. It's absolutely full. There'll be no room for the newspapers in the morning.
Are you going to work tonight?
You know very well I'm not. Hello? What's this? Someone's been at the lock.
At the lock?
Yes, I'm sure of it. Who on earth? Here's a broken hairpin. Nora, it's one of yours.
Then it must have been the children.
Well, you'll have to break them in that habit. Well, that's done it. Look at this. You see how they've piled up.
What on earth is this?
The letter. Oh, no, Torval, no.
Two visiting cards. From Rank.
From Dr. Rank?
Peter Rank, M.D. They were on the top. He must have dropped them in as he left.
Has he written anything on them?
It was a black cross above his name. Rather gruesome, isn't it? It looks just as though he was announcing his death.
He is.
What? Do you know something? Has he told you anything?
Yes. When these cards come, it means he's said goodbye to us. He wants to shut himself up in his house and die.
Oh, poor fellow. I knew I wouldn't be seeing him for much longer, but so soon. Now he's going to slink away and hide like a wounded beast.
When the time comes, it's best to go silently. Don't you think so, Torval?
He was so much a part of our life. I can't realize that he's gone. His suffering and loneliness seem to provide a kind of dark background to the happy sunlight of our marriage. Oh, perhaps it's best this way. For him, anyway. And perhaps for us too, Nora. Now we have only each other. Oh, my beloved wife. I feel as though I could never hold you close enough. Do you know, Nora, often I wish some terrible danger might threaten you so that I could offer my life and my blood, everything, for your sake.
Read your letters now, Torval.
Oh, no, no. Oh, not tonight. Tonight I want to be with you, my darling wife.
When your friend is about to die.
Oh, you're right. Now, this news has upset us both. An ugliness has come between us, thoughts of death and dissolution. We must try to forget them. Until then, you go to your room.
Good night, Torval. Good night.
Good night, my darling little songbird.
Sleep well, Nora.
I'll go to my study and read my letters.
Never see him again. Never. Never. Never see the children again. Them too. Never. Never. Oh, the icy black water.
only it were all over. Now he's got it. He's reading it. Oh, no, no, no. Not yet. Goodbye, Torvald. Goodbye, my darling children.
Nora, oh. What is this? Do you know what's in this letter?
Yes, I know. Let me go. Let me go.
Go where?
You mustn't try to save me, Torvald.
Is it true? Is it true what he writes? Oh, my God. No, no, no. It's impossible. It can't be true.
It is true. I love you more than anything else in the world.
Oh, don't try to make silly excuses.
Oh, Torvald.
Wretched woman, what have you done?
Let me go. You're not to suffer for my sake. I won't let you.
Well, stop being theatrical. You're going to stay here and explain yourself. Do you understand what you've done? Answer me. Do you understand?
Yes. Now I am beginning to understand.
Oh. What a dreadful awakening. For 8 whole years, she who was my joy and pride, a hypocrite, a liar, worse, a criminal. Oh, the hideousness of it. Shame on you. Shame. Oh, I ought to have guessed that something of this sort would happen. I should have foreseen it. All your father's recklessness and instability, he's handed on to you. No religion, no morals, no sense of duty. Oh, how I have been punished for closing my eyes to his faults. I did it for your sake, and now you reward me like this.
Yes, like this.
Now you have destroyed all my happiness. You've ruined my whole future. Oh, it's too dreadful to contemplate. I am in the power of a man who's completely without scruples. He can do what he likes with me, demand what he pleases, order me to do anything. I dare not disobey him. I'm condemned to humiliation and ruin simply for the weakness of a woman.
When I am gone from this world, then you will be free.
Oh, don't be melodramatic! Well, your father was always ready with that kind of remark. How would it help me if you were gone from this world? It wouldn't assist me in the slightest. You can still make all the facts public. And if he does, I may quite easily be suspected of having been an accomplice in your crime. People may think that I was behind it, that it was I who encouraged you. And for all this, I have to thank you. You whom I've carried through all the years of our marriage. Now, do you realize what you've done to me?
Yes.
It's so unbelievable. I can hardly credit it. Well, we must try to find some way out. And take off that straw. I said, take it off! I must try to buy him off somehow. This thing must be hushed up at any price. And as regards our relationship, we must appear to be living together just as before. Only appear, of course. You will therefore continue to reside here. That is understood. But the children shall be taken out of your hands. I dare no longer entrust them to you. Oh. I have to say this to the woman I once loved so dearly. And whom I still... Well, all that must be finished. Henceforth there can be no question of happiness. We must merely strive to save what shreds and tatters... Oh, what can that be?
This hour?
Oh, surely not. Oh, he wouldn't. Hide yourself, Nora. Say you're ill. Yes?
A letter for Madam.
Give it me. Yes, it's from him. Oh, no, you're not having it. I read this myself.
Read it.
I hardly dare to. This may mean the end for us both. No, I must know. Oh, Nora. Nora. No, I must read it once more. Yes, it's true. I'm saved. Nora, I am saved.
What about me?
Oh, you two, of course. Well, we're both saved, you and I. Look, he's returning your IOU. He writes that he is sorry for what has happened. A happy accident has changed his life. Oh, what does it matter what he writes? We're saved, Nora. No one can harm you now. Oh, Nora, Nora. No, first, let me destroy this filthy thing. Ah.
Now they're destroyed. I shall merely regard the whole business as a dream. Krugstad wrote that ever since Christmas Eve you've been... Oh, these must have been three dreadful days for you, Nora.
Yes, it's been a hard fight.
It must have been terrible, seeing no way out except... No, we'll forget the whole sordid business. We'll just be happy and go on telling ourselves over and over again, it's over, it's over. Oh, listen to me, Nora. Why, you don't seem to realize it's over. Why are you looking so pale? Oh, my poor little Nora. I understand. You can't believe that I have forgiven you. But I have, Nora. I swear it to you. I have forgiven you everything. I know that what you did for your love of me.
That is true.
You've loved me as a wife should love her husband. It was simply that in your inexperience you chose the wrong means. But do you think I love you any the less because you don't know how to act on your own initiative? No, no. Just lean on me. I shall counsel you. I shall guide you. I would not be a true man if your feminine helplessness did not make you doubly attractive in my eyes. Oh, now, you mustn't mind the hard words I said to you in those first dreadful moments when my whole world seemed to be tumbling about my ears. I have forgiven you, Nora. I swear it to you. I have forgiven you.
Thank you for your forgiveness.
Oh, no, don't go. What are you doing?
Taking off my fancy dress.
Oh, yes. Yes, do that. And try to calm yourself and get your balance again, my frightened little songbird. Don't be afraid. I have broad wings to shield you. Oh, how lovely and peaceful this little home of ours is, Nora. You are safe here. I shall watch over you like a hunted dove which I have snatched unharmed from the claws of the falcon. Your wildly beating little heart shall find peace with me. It will happen, Nora. It will take time. Be as it was before. I shall no longer need to remind you that I've forgiven you. Your own heart will tell you that it's true. Do you really think I could ever bring myself to disown you? Or even to reproach you? Oh, Nora, you don't understand what goes on in a husband's heart. There is something indescribably wonderful and satisfying for a husband in knowing that he has forgiven his wife, forgiven her unreservedly from the bottom of his heart. It means that she has become his property in a double sense. He has, as it were, brought her into the world anew. She's now not only his wife, but also his child. From now on, that is what you shall be to me, my poor, helpless, bewildered little creature. Never be frightened of anything again, Nora. Just open your heart to me. I shall be both your will and your conscience. What's this? Not in bed? Have you changed?
Yes, Torvar, I've changed.
But why now? Why have you put on your day clothes? Why, so late?
I shall not sleep tonight.
But,
dear Nora... It isn't late, Torvar. You and I have a lot to talk about.
Nora, what does this mean? You look quite drawn.
Sit down. It's going to take a long time. I have a lot to say to you.
You alarm me, Nora. Understand you.
No, that's just it. You don't understand me. And I've never understood you. Until this evening. Now, don't interrupt me. Just listen to what I have to say. You and I have got to face facts, Torvar.
What do you mean by that?
Doesn't anything strike you about the way we're sitting here?
What?
We've been married for 8 years. Does it occur to you that this is the first time we two, you and I, man and wife, have ever had a serious talk together?
Serious? What do you mean, serious?
In 8 whole years. No longer. Ever since we first met. We have never exchanged a serious word on a serious subject.
And did you expect me to drag you into all my worries? Worries you couldn't possibly have helped me with?
I'm not talking about worries. I'm simply saying that we have never sat down seriously to try to get to the bottom of anything.
But, my dear Nora, what on earth has that got to do with you?
That's just the point. You have never understood me. A great wrong has been done to me, Tova. First by Papa and then by you.
What? But we two have loved you more than anyone in the world.
No. You have never loved me. You have just thought it was fun to be in love with me.
Nora, what kind of a way is this to talk?
It's the truth, Tova. When I lived with Papa, he used to tell me what he thought about everything, so that I never had any opinions but his. And if I did have any of my own, I kept them quiet because he wouldn't have liked them. He called me his little doll. And he played with me just the way I played with my dolls. Then I came here to live in your house.
What kind of a way is that to describe our marriage?
I mean, then I passed from Papa's hands into yours. You arranged everything the way you wanted it, so that I simply took over your taste in everything. Or pretended I did. I didn't really know. I think it was a little of both, first one and then the other. Now I look back on it, it's as if I've been living here like a pet animal. I performed tricks for you, and you gave me food and drink. But that was how you wanted it. You and Papa have done me a great wrong. It's your fault that I have done nothing with my life.
Nora, how can you be so unreasonable and ungrateful? Haven't you been happy here?
No, never. I used to think I was. But I haven't been happy.
Not happy?
No. I've just had fun. You've always been very kind to me. But our home has never been anything but a playroom. I've been your doll wife, just as I used to be Papa's doll child, and the children have been my dolls. I used to think it was fun when you came in and played with me, just as they think it's fun when I go in and play games with them. That's all our marriage has been, Tova.
There may be a little truth in what you say, though you exaggerate and romanticize, but from now on, it will be different. Playtime is over. Now the time has come for education.
Whose education? Mine or the children's?
Both yours and the children's, my dearest Nora.
Tovel, you're not the man to educate me into being the right wife for you.
How can you say that?
And what about me? Am I fit to educate the children?
Nora!
Didn't you say yourself a few minutes ago that you dare not leave them in my charge?
In a moment of excitement? Oh, surely you don't think I meant it seriously?
Well, you were perfectly right. I'm not fitted to educate them. There's something else I must do first. I must educate myself. And you can't help me with that. It's something I must do by myself, and that's why I'm leaving you.
What did you say?
I must stand on my own feet if I am to find out the truth about myself and about life. So I can't go on living here with you any longer.
Forever.
I'm leaving you now, at once. Christine will put me up for tonight.
You're out of your mind. You can't do this. I forbid you.
It's no use your trying to forbid me anymore. I shall take with me nothing but what is mine. I don't want anything from you, now or ever.
What kind of madness?
Tomorrow I shall go home. I mean to where I was born. It'll be easiest for me to find some kind of a job there.
But you're blind. You've no experience of the world.
I must try to get some to her.
But leave your home, your husband, your children. Have you thought what people will say?
I can't help that. I only know that I must do this.
But This is monstrous. Can you neglect your most sacred duties?
What do you call my most sacred duties?
Oh, do I have to tell you your duties towards your husband and your children?
I have another duty which is equally sacred.
You have not! What on earth could that be?
My duty towards myself.
First and foremost, you are a wife and a mother.
I don't believe that any longer. I believe that I am first and foremost a human being, like you, or... Anyway, I must try to become one. I know most people think as you do, Tova, and I know there's something of the sort to be found in books. But I'm no longer prepared to accept what people say and what's written in books. I must think things out for myself and try to find my own answer.
Do you need to ask where your duty lies in your own home? Haven't you an infallible guide in such matters? Your religion?
Oh, Tova, I don't really know what religion means.
Do you say?
I only know what Pastor Hansen told me when I went to confirmation. He explained that religion meant this and that. When I get away from all this and can think things out on my own, that's one of the questions I want to look into. I want to find out whether what Pastor Hansen said was right. Or anyway, whether it is right for me.
But it's unheard of for so young a woman to behave like this. If religion cannot guide you, let me at least appeal to your conscience. I presume you have some moral feelings left, or perhaps you haven't. Well, answer me.
Oh, Tova, that isn't an easy question to answer. I simply don't know. I don't know where I am in these matters. I only know that these things mean something quite different to me from what they do to you. I've learned now that certain laws are different from what I'd imagined them to be. But I can't accept that such laws can be right. Has a woman no right to spare her dying father pain? Or save her husband's life? I can't believe
it. You're talking like a child. You don't understand how society works.
No, I don't. But now I intend to learn. I must try to satisfy myself which is right, society or I.
Nora, you're ill. You're feverish. I almost believe you're out of your mind.
I have never felt so sane and sure in all my life.
You feel sure that it is right to leave your husband and your children?
Yes, I do.
Then there is only one possible explanation.
What?
That you don't love me any longer.
No. That's exactly it.
Nora. How can you say this to me?
Oh, Tova, it hurts me terribly to have to say it. Because you've always been so kind to me. But I can't help it. I don't love you any longer.
And you feel quite sure about this, too?
Yes. Absolutely sure. That's why I can't go on living here any longer.
Can you also explain why I have lost your love?
Yes, I can. It happened this evening, when the miracle failed to happen. It was then that I realized you weren't the man I thought you to be.
Explain more clearly. I don't understand you.
I've waited so patiently for 8 whole years. Well, good heavens, I'm not such a fool as to suppose that miracles occur every day. Then this dreadful thing happened to me. And then I knew. Now, the miracle will take place. When Krugstad's letter was lying out there, it never occurred to me for a moment that you would let that man trample over you. I thought that you would say to him, "Publish the facts to the world." And when he had done this...
Oh, what then? When I'd exposed my wife's name to shame and scandal?
Then I was certain that you would step forward
and take all the blame on yourself and say, I am the one who is guilty.
Nora!
You're thinking I wouldn't have accepted such a sacrifice from you. No, of course I wouldn't. But what would my word have counted for against yours? That was the miracle I was hoping for and dreading. And it was to prevent it happening that I wanted to end my life.
Nora, I would gladly work for you night and day and endure sorrow and hardship for your sake. But no man can be expected to sacrifice his honor, even for the person he loves.
Millions of women have done it.
Don't you think and talk like a stupid child?
That may be. But you neither think nor talk like the man I could share my life with. Once you've got over your fright, and you weren't frightened of what might threaten me, but only of what threatened you, once the danger was past, then as far as you were concerned, it was exactly as though nothing had happened. I was your little songbird, just as before. Your doll, whom henceforth you could take particular care to protect from the world because she was so weak and fragile. Oh, Tova. In that moment, I realized that for 8 years I had been living here with a complete stranger, and had borne him 3 children. Oh, I can't bear to think of it. I could tear myself to pieces.
I see it. I see it. A gulf has indeed opened between us. Oh, but Nora, couldn't it be bridged?
As I am now, I am no wife for you.
I have the strength to change.
Perhaps, if your doll is taken from you.
But to be parted from you. No, no, Nora, I can't conceive of it happening.
All the more necessary that it should happen. My bag is packed. When I have left town, Christine will come for the rest of my things. I'll have them sent on after me.
Nora, Nora, not now. Wait till tomorrow.
I can't spend the night in a strange man's house.
But can't we live here as brother and sister, then?
You know quite well it wouldn't last. Goodbye, Tova. I don't want to see the children. I know they're in better hands than mine. As I am now, I can be nothing to them.
But sometime, Nora... sometime.
How can I tell? I have no idea what will happen to me.
But you are my wife. Both as you are and as you will be.
Listen, Tova. When a wife leaves her husband's house, as I am doing now, I'm told that according to law, he is freed of any obligations towards her. And in any case, I release you from any such obligations. You mustn't feel bound to me in any way, however small. Just as I shall not feel bound to you. We must both be quite free. Here is your ring back. Give me mine.
That too.
That too.
Here it is.
Good. Well, now it's over. I'll leave the keys here. The servants know about everything to do with the house. Much better than I do.
This is the end, then. Nora, will you never think of me anymore?
Yes. Of course. I shall often think of you, and the children, and this house.
May I write to you, Nora?
No, never. You mustn't do that.
But at least you must let me send you...
Nothing.
But if you should need help...
I tell you no. I don't accept things from strangers.
Aura, can I never be anything but a stranger to you?
Oh, Torvald. Then the miracle of miracles would have to happen.
The miracle of miracles?
You and I would have to change so much... Oh, Torvald. I don't believe in miracles any longer.
But I want to believe in them. Tell me, we each would have to change so much that...
That life together between us two could become a marriage. Goodbye.
Nora. Empty. She's gone. The miracle of miracles.
In Michael Mayer's translation of A Doll's House by Henrik Ibsen, Nora was played by Susan Fleetwood and Torvald Helmer by Ian McKellen. Krogstar by David Buck, Mrs. Linda by Sheila Reed, and Dr. Runk by Michael Goff. The Nanny and the Maid were played by Joan Matheson and Josie Kidd. The play was directed by John Tideman. A Doll's House received its first performance exactly 100 years ago tomorrow, on the 21st of December 1879, at the Royal Theatre, Copenhagen.